Bibles, please, to Leviticus. Sorry, Numbers. Fourth book. Numbers, chapter 8. We go back to Leviticus. I had a ball while we were reading through Leviticus. And I will once again put a plug in for that commentary by Andrew Benar on the book of Leviticus. Numbers chapter 8, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold, unto the shaft thereof, unto the flowers thereof, was beaten work, according to unto the pattern which the Lord showed Moses, so he made the candlestick. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them, to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bullock, with his meat offering, even fine flour, mingled with oil, and another young bullock that thou shalt take for a sin offering. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did the children of Israel unto them. And the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord. And Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons. As the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is that belongeth unto the Levites. From 25 years old and upward they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge and to do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites touching their charge. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. Divide the chapter into two portions, verses 1 through 4, pertaining to the menorah, and then 5 through the end of the chapter, pertaining to the Levites. So, the candlestick, what is the significance of the candlestick, the menorah, or the menorah, that was in the first chamber? You remember that that was the only light that was in the chamber, and that the priests were commanded every day to go in and to light those seven knops, those seven, you know, little bowls of oil. It was a tube. It was a system of seven tubes, one center tube, and then the rest of the tubes which came out from it. And as the one was filled, the rest of it filled up. And so there were wicks put down in those tubes, and those lights, those little flames, burned, and that was the light in the tabernacle. Set on the table, the showbread. There was also an incense altar in there. But the only light that was there was from the menorah. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus likens that menorah to His church. He is the one who walks among the candlesticks. And the candlesticks, the same as the branches on the menorah. How many churches are there in Revelation that the Lord speaks about? Seven churches, seven branches on the menorah. What does Jesus say He will do if they do not repent? He will come and take away His candlestick. Right? They will be no more church. Oh, they may continue to meet. They may continue to have a building. They may pay the bills. But that doesn't mean that there'll be a church. So the church then is to be that light which lightens all of the workings of God, right? As that menorah was inside that tent, the first chamber of the tent, to lighten up the altar of incense and the table of the showbread, which was changed out over and again. Remember all of that worship that went on in there that nobody ever saw, but the Lord and the priest. Because the Lord was pleased. See, worship is for the Lord, it's not for you. Oh, if we could get that across to our current day culture. Worship is not for you. Worship is for the Lord. So then, this menorah was the light. Of course, the church is to be that light set on a hill that cannot be hid. And the parallels between the church and the menorah are legion, are memorable in Scripture. So we have that which lightens or informs the worship of God. That comes through the church as the Lord preaches through His church and sets in order through His apostles and prophets all of that worship that was to go on inside the tabernacle and now inside this tabernacle. As the Lord moved upon that church to be the light of the world, so the menorah is indicative of the light, the knowledge that comes through the preaching of the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, the preaching of the name of Christ. The second portion of the chapter is the Levites. And as I told you in the last reading from Numbers chapter 7, one may think that the Levites were left out. In the last chapter, all of the 12 tribes, of course we understand it was a baker's dozen, all of the 12 tribes had brought their offerings, but the Levites brought no offering. Were they somehow left out of the children of Israel? You remember that Simeon and Levi, because they were rapacious in their treatment of the Shechemites, that they got a very little inheritance or no inheritance at all. Simeon was spread throughout the 12 tribes of Israel with no sure inheritance. Levi was also spread throughout the 12 tribes of Israel with no sure inheritance, except that Levi became himself the inheritance. The Lord said, "The Levites are mine. Offer them to me instead of all the firstborn." And so when the Levites came near, It was a wonderful ceremony in which the Lord said, "Here's how they're going to come to me. Bring me two offerings." Right? Let's see, where did it say? Take a young bullock with his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. The bullock. Why the bullock? All of the priests and the Levites were consecrated with an offering of a bullock. You know why? Because the bullock was the most costly. Speaks of the gravity of the office of the Levite. Remember that the Levites were the ones that were spread throughout the coasts of Israel, from one end to the other, and that they were the teachers of the law of God. They were the preachers and the teachers. They are responsible for how the children of Israel learned the law as they were spread hither and yon throughout all tribes. So they were to come before the Lord in two ways. They were to come before the Lord in a consecratory offering and a sin offering. Again, we see that there is no one that stands before the Lord apart from a sin offering. And so even these Levites, they came with two offerings in their hand. The first offering was a sin offering. The second offering was a consecratory offering, an olah, the second bullock with his minkah, with his meal offering, which spoke of consecration and strength, that as they were consecrated to the Lord would strengthen them in their office. And so those Levites came forward. The children of Israel also came forward with the Levites. And what did the children of Israel do? Very dramatically, majestically, solemnly, they placed their hands upon the Levites. And what did they say? These Levites are taken instead of our sons, instead of our firstborn. We owe the Lord our firstborn, which is to say what? We owe the Lord everything. We owe it all to Him. And so we give Him our strength, we give Him our firstborn in the giving of these Levites. And they placed their hands on the Levites, identifying themselves with those Levites. And then the Levites in turn, solemnly, majestically, placed their hands upon the bullocks, saying what? In these bullocks, number one, the first bullock, that bullock for sin offering, dies on our behalf as a substitute. We are sinners. We cannot approach unto the holy God without a sin offering. This bullock will die substitutionarily for us. And then on the second bullock, we consecrate ourselves wholly unto the Lord. W-H-O-L-L-Y. 100%. Top to bottom, left to right, front to back, unto the Lord. Well, what are we saying in all of that? Oh, the Apostle Peter makes that so very clear to us here in the New Covenant in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Turn with me there. Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Language out of Deuteronomy and language out of Hosea. Peter shows us that we are that kingdom of priests. We as the church are those which have by Jesus Christ direct access unto God the Father. Jesus said in the upper room discourse, in that day you'll not ask me anything, you'll go straight to my Father in my name. And so because of the sacrifice and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are like those Levites who have been consecrated holy to the service of God. Notice those Israelites in placing their hands upon the Levites, identifying with the Levites placing their hands upon the sacrifices, identifying with the sacrifices, so that by way of chain of analogy, the children of Israel were indeed that day confessing that God owned them entirely, that they belonged to Him. You see, that same truth is proclaimed today. This is why the Apostle Paul tells us, as we quoted earlier today in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, because of the surpassing mercies of God, to present yourselves living sacrifices, or present your bodies, living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, today we're still offering offerings, aren't we? We haven't left off offering offerings. We don't bring sheep and goats any longer. That one true sacrifice has been offered. Jesus Christ Himself has died, ending all ritual sacrifice, but certainly not ending those consecratory sacrifices that we are commanded to offer in these days. Not of bulls and goats and sheep, but of our very selves. What are you holding back? What are you keeping back? You know, is there a bit of ambivalence? Are you pressing forward but holding back? Those Levites, on the day that they were consecrated for service unto the Lord, they turned their back on any inheritance in the land. They turned their back on having a plot of land to call their own, except for those small Levitical districts that were in every country, in every one of the tribes, so that they could minister for the Lord and in the Lord's strength to the people of Israel. In a very real sense, we also are to turn our back on this worldly inheritance and press forward as those who are wholly consecrated unto God. No holding back. No reticence. We have confessed. We have a public profession of faith that we make, don't we? Those of you who have been admitted to the table have made a private confession to me, not that I'm anything. I'm just the one who hears it. We also have a public profession of faith. And in those public professions of faith that we make, whether they are informal out in the world or formal here, we make a profession that we have, that we are not our own, that we have been created for the pleasure of another. Let us, with our hearts, with our sincerity, follow that confession of our lips and do as the Levites have done, as Paul calls the people of God to do in our age, as Peter tells us that we are a royal priesthood. Let us be that people, wholly consecrated unto God. Let our minds dwindle back to that rest with God when they're not being pressed to service in other places. Let us find out what the works of our hands are able to do, and everything that they find to do, may we, as the Apostle Paul has said, do all to the glory of God. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.